your life. Remember, peace.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Well, good morning, and that music can only mean one thing. Dan and Dave, and one of them is alive. Good morning, Dan, and the Left Coast, and are you all stirring up the pot to screw anything up at this moment?
The pot. Well, the pot here in Oregon refers to something different than maybe what you Georgians think, but our pot here is doing very well.
I bet it is. You know, one thing, have y'all legalized, y'all have only legalized legal marijuana. You haven't, have y'all legalized recreational at this point?
No, we haven't.
Okay, so.
We haven't, but I think that's coming maybe in July.
Coming to your local pot corner.
Yeah, it's coming. I drive by what they call dispensaries, and that's for medical products.
Are they like the red dot stores in South Carolina and so forth?
Kind of like
for,
that, yeah.
For like the liquor stores, they have the red dots. Buy it here. You know, one thing I would, and I don't ask much of my friend Dan. But this I would be very interested in. If Oregon does, like Washington has done, legalize recreational marijuana, what I would like to track is the number of automobile accidents and or deaths associated with auto accidents relating to marijuana. Do they give that statistic out or facts out? Do you know?
No, I've never heard it. Even in Colorado, I've really never heard it. I think it's kind of hard to track because there's no definition for intoxicated through marijuana.
Well, they...
It's not like a blood alcohol level.
They have tracked it from... You know, in Colorado, and we've talked about this on our Detailing Addiction show, they have tracked it from the standpoint that you start out in X number of wrecks annually, an average of, I don't know, say 200,000. They legalize marijuana, and it goes up. All of a sudden, they're averaging 230,000. And I'm just pulling numbers. They mean nothing. But they've tracked it from that standpoint, not from, you know, breath tests and all this or whatever else, blood tests or anything else. But I think they can, and I believe you can get a DUI if you're high on pot, you know, just like a DUI if you're drunk. Driving under the influence of pot, alcohol, whatever it might happen to be.
Well, I'm just scanning an article here. Maybe we'll get back to that subject in a few minutes. But, you know, I would guess that you're probably correct, but I don't know what the increase is.
No, I don't either.
According to one study, marijuana-related traffic deaths increased by 154% between 2006 and 2014. Now, is all of that related to marijuana? Maybe. Who knows?
Okay.
I just don't think their reporting system is totally accurate and in place.
No, I'm sure not. And you know, but it would be an interesting subject to sort of keep track of. You know.
The nice thing about Portland is if we go right across the Columbia River. We're in the state of Washington.
And you can buy all you want.
Yeah, the state of Washington is very liberal, you know, and you can purchase just about anything you want there.
You know, I as a conservative, but also being able to remember my college years, that's because when you get Alzheimer's, you remember the old stuff better than you remember the new stuff. But anyway, I just can't go along with legalizing it. And there's the argument of, well, you got booze and all this. And, yeah, the older I get, the more I look at drinking like, you know, I have nothing against you having a drink or anybody else having a drink. I don't really have anything against you having two drinks or three drinks or 10 drinks. As long as you stay home, stay off my road. And I've certainly gotten to the point that even I'll have one drink going out at going to a restaurant or something like that. But if I'm driving, I'll have an early cocktail at a restaurant, and then that's it. I'm not going to jeopardize my family, my wife, or anybody else when I leave a restaurant. I just and I certainly, if I decide I've had it with the radio station and I go home and figure this is one of those nights to have about four cocktails, I'll have them, but I'm staying at home. I'm not going outside. I don't even think about going out or getting in the car. And I think that's the way I feel about marijuana.
What's the difference with marijuana?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the way I feel about it. I think one joint is a lot worse than one drink, but that's my personal opinion. But if you want to get blown away on marijuana, I have no problem with that. Just stay where you're at. Don't get behind the wheel.
Well, you mentioned our college days, and I don't know this for a fact. I can't, I'm not going to give you a personal testimony here, but
that's because you stay blown away on marijuana all the time.
From what I hear, marijuana now is nothing like the marijuana that was available back in the early 70s.
Yeah, supposedly it's so strong it'll knock your socks off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. Yeah, and I usually smoke barefooted anyway.
I can believe that. Or in your Ho Chi Minh sandals.
Yeah.
But we won't go into that.
No, thankfully I've been able to stay away. I've been marijuana clear for a number of years.
Well, like I said, I don't want to encroach or even insinuate encroaching on anyone's personal rights. But they're not personal rights when they get on my road. And I'm the same way. I shouldn't encroach on anybody else's rights by being drunk and driving. That's the way I feel about somebody high. That's the way I feel about whether it's booze or marijuana, heroin, dope of any kind, crack. If you want to go smoke yourself to death, that's fine. I have no problem with it. Just don't get out on my highways.
Well, I'm just reading a study from 2015. It's a drug and alcohol crash risk study by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and it sounds like a bunch of double talk. But they report that, you know, because the age group that typically smokes marijuana is fairly young, and I'm not sure I agree with that.
That's not true.
But they think that maybe the age affects the crash risk as much as the marijuana. I don't know. I just think it needs to be studied more. And it'll be interesting to see what President Trump does regarding marijuana. I haven't heard that on any of his campaign issues. Have you? Drug control, marijuana control?
No, I haven't. And, I've got to respect him. He doesn't drink at all, which, totally respect him for his He just doesn't want his head messed up, and so he doesn't. So power to him. He's a wise man for not doing that, in my opinion.
Well, you're probably the only opinion in the country that would say that. I haven't heard too many people here say he's a wise man.
I tell you what, I think he's very, very. It's an oxymoron. I think he's loudly and quietly doing a very good job. I've been impressed with his decisions, and which leads us to one of the topics I wanted to talk about, because it's about to start up. The hearings for his choice for the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch, is that the way you pronounce it, Gorsuch?
Gorsuch is how I've heard it, but, who knows.
Gorsuch. Anyway, that guy... He could take on the Senate and have more brain power than all the senators put together. He should have just taken over the seat and not even gone through the hearings, in my opinion. The guy is extremely smart. And the one thing that I must say I like about him the most, and that, as far as I'm concerned, that's what the Supreme Court is all about, is he is a constitutionalist. He doesn't try to write things into the Constitution. He doesn't try to write law with the Constitution. In his position in the 10th Circuit, his decisions have been based on the Constitution. This is what it says. This is why you broke the law, or this is why we find you innocent, by via of the Constitution. That's what our country's about, and the sooner we get back to our Constitution, and the sooner more people listen to the show on America's Web Radio called Our Constitution, the better I'll like it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a chart here. This is by the Journal of Law Economics Organization, whoever they are, talking about how conservative or how liberal all of the Supreme Court justices are. And Sonia Sotomayor is way liberal, along with Ruth Ginsburg.
Yep.
And Neil Gorsuch is as conservative as they are liberal on this graph.
Huh.
So, he comes across as being pretty conservative.
Well, like I said, if he's a constitutionalist, people would look at him as a conservative, but
yes,
as a fair judge, I believe he's very, very good. You ought to look at the Heritage Foundation. I believe they've given him the top rating. So has the American Bar Association have more than approved him as being a fair and outstanding judge. He's a good man. And that's what we need on the Supreme Court, and for years to come. As a matter of fact, I think it's the Wax Museum in London. Is that correct?
I think so. Yeah.
I think they were a little premature in making Ginsburg's figure. She's been sitting there for, I think the lady's waxed, but they figured out how to open and close her eyes and let her bow her head to take a nap during anything. Nobody could be that old.
Well, during the break, maybe I can find out how old she really is.
We will take that break right now and be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this. Stay tuned.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby, The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And aren't you excited? You're back on the Dan and Dave show this morning from the left coast and the right coast and the north coast. And
I don't think you gave your advertiser full due there. That was an awfully short break. I think another, you owe your advertiser.
Another short joke, huh?
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of these short jokes, Dan. Not funny.
Yeah.
Not funny.
So we've got a Monday morning on our hands, and we were both talking about how short the weekend felt. We had a nice day Sunday, and we're expecting more rain through the week, and I'm looking out my window right now, and it's raining as we speak. Oh, my goodness, we've had a wet spring. Today is the first day of spring.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, and we didn't have much of a winter. We had a few days of cold, but I'm really personally a winter person. I enjoy being out during the summer. I'm about to change the old yard theory and let somebody else do it. But the nice part about winter is you can add so many clothes and stay warm. The bad part about summer is you can only take off so many to try to get cool. And I personally, I really like winter. I like winter, and I wish we had had a good hard winter. We had a mild winter. Had we not been in Europe over the holidays, I wouldn't have seen. I would have never worn my heavy ski coat. It just, you know, never got cold enough in Atlanta for that this year. So,
well, you know, it was the second warmest winter on record.
Al Gore just clapping and say, "I told you, I told you."
Yeah.
He's wetting his pants right now. I'm going to make another $1 billion off a warm winter.
Yep.
I don't much think it has anything to do with anything, but anyway, across the country, I don't know. We're supposed to be getting rain in here, I think, starting tonight. So, oh my goodness, it gets rain. We get rain, and it'll just be a few more days that I just can't get into the old garden and do anything because it's just too wet.
What are you going to raise this year in your garden besides tomatoes?
I think that's about it. Tomatoes, maybe a few peppers, bell peppers. They grow very well here, and I'm not gonna outdo myself. A variety of tomatoes, but that's and maybe one row of okra. It's hard to get past that okra, and it's even though it's so bad for me, I do like fried okra every now and then.
Oh, sure.
You know, and I like steamed okra and stewed okra, but come to think of it, I just like okra, I guess. But I haven't knocked down okra from last year.
I don't think I've ever seen okra and bacon put together in a recipe. But
it's good. I don't know that I don't have a recipe for it, but in my opinion, you can't do anything. In fact, I cooked up a bunch of bacon yesterday morning and wound up eating the last of it this morning, as a matter of fact. You can't go wrong with bacon.
Well, I know. Bacon goes with darn near everything, doesn't it?
Pretty much. I haven't done a lot of bacon and ice cream, but I don't see anything wrong with it.
Well, you know.
Tell me what would be wrong with bacon and ice cream. And I'll even let you choose your flavor of ice cream.
Chocolate ice cream and bacon.
Mm-hmm.
I
think that would be delicious, actually.
That bacon would
cut a little bit of the sweet, and the ice cream would cut a little bit of the salt, and I think you'd just be a happy camper. You can't mess with bacon.
Well, my wife laughs at me because anytime she's cooking bacon, invariably I'll walk into the kitchen and say, that smells good. What are you cooking? Knowing that it's bacon, of course, but, you know, if she wants, that's the way to my heart is bacon.
You know, I don't know how we got on this, but have you ever had bacon mixed in with some really good macaroni and cheese?
No, that sounds good.
I won't hardly eat a baked potato without putting bacon chips on it. Now, the one place I do draw a line, and I'm sure there are thousands of people out there that could care less, but I won't eat Bacos or whatever, their imitation bacon. I will not eat that garbage.
You can't go there, can you?
No. It ain't bacon. No way, Jose, will I eat that stuff.
And there's a lot of different kinds of bacon. When we go to Whole Foods, Whole Foods prices are too high, so we never buy anything there. But we love going by the meat counter. And they'll have, a dozen different cuts and appearances of bacon. Oh, my. I'd love to be a bacon tester for Whole Foods.
Well, maybe we can arrange something, you know. Who knows?
I could print some business cards that said, Chief Bacon Tester.
You ought to send them one. Whole Foods, Chief Bacon Tester.
Yeah, I've got experience.
Okay, one of the other things that I put on the Let's Talk About, and I'm curious about your, you know, North Korea is very close to having an ICBM nuclear capability.
Yep.
And that goonball is, he's not working with a full box of light bulbs, I don't think.
Let me just suggest that he's going down a path that's pretty dangerous, because what happens when he gets an ICBM? Is he going to use it? Or what does he do next? You know, he's a guy that has to keep one-upping himself. So he gets nuclear, and then he needs a delivery system, and he gets short range and then medium range. And once he gets ICBM, what next?
That's the question. What next?
And he's going to put himself in a hole. We're going to have to take him out at some point, it sounds like. And then what does China do, or what's Russia's attitude? I don't think Russia would be so much concerned. That's kind of what they do. You know, they go into smaller countries and, you know, tear them up. I think if we went into North Korea, Russia would chuckle and say, wow, you know, Trump's got a pair. But China may have a different look.
You know, I don't know.
Would you want North Korea to be part of South Korea? Just one Korean peninsula called South Korea?
I could live with Korea. Yeah. Not South Korea, not North Korea. I could live with a democratic Korea. Now, is that going to happen? That one I can't tell you.
Yeah, don't know.
But I could live with a democratic Korea, and I think it'd be great. You know, I when we were there, I as stupid as you know, I never really got into it. Now I know my son has gone to East Germany. And I, since the Germanys have combined, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's been any great problems. To my knowledge, it's been a pretty good marriage, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I sort of think that. I don't hear much. Yeah, I think so. It's one Germany. Yeah. Well, here's an article that says bombing North Korea is not an option. The best ways of dealing with the issue is economic and diplomatic, not military.
How can you starve a country to death that's already starving to death? Pretty good question, huh?
Interesting. There's a picture of the young dictator here looking through a set of high-powered telescope.
The doctor?
And the telescope looks like it was built in 1950.
Well,
yeah. I don't see how they built nuclear weapons.
I think they got it from a... From Iran and from Russia and, you know.
Well.
I think Iran has been their biggest supporter. Or I may be backwards. It may be Iran's biggest supporter on nuclear weapons.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. It's going that direction. Or they may share, you know, it may be Iranian scientists inside North Korea doing the work where the United States can't see into as well.
Yeah.
Can't really see into Iran, though, so I don't know.
I don't either. And
I just know it's not up to me.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable subject. Knowing that that idiot has any kind of power at all, much less nuclear power, he could obviously not only do a lot of harm, but he could sure mess up. And I think that's what he wants to do. Is he knows he's only going to be what he is right now, but he would like to go down in history as stirring up something, you know, and. Unfortunately, he could.
That means he probably has to die in the process. Is he willing to do that?
You know, I did like Mad Dog, and I have no right to call him that. But anyway, Mattis, his General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense now, he was quoted as saying that if North Korea launched anything in the direction of the U.S. or South Korea, that would be the end of North Korea as we know it. Pretty powerful statement.
Hmm.
With that, we're going to take a break. We'll be back on America's Web Radio right after this.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense, as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show, only on America's Web Radio, because nobody else would have Dan. And we had to do.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You know,
I feel I would never be on a competitor station. America's Web Radio is. I lead America's Web Radio.
Do we have competition?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think you need General Mattis. You need to appoint him as CEO of America's Web Radio. This. I've got some quotes here for you. May I read a couple?
Absolutely.
Okay. General Mattis says, "I don't lose any sleep at night over the potential for failure. I cannot even spell the word." And then he says, "The first time you blow someone away is not an insignificant event. That said, there are some assholes in the world that just need to be shot." Then he says, "I come in peace. I didn't bring artillery, but I'm pleading with you, with tears in my eyes. If you F with me, I'll kill you all." Ooh. "Find the enemy that wants to end the American democracy and kill every one of them until they're so sick of the killing that they leave us and our freedoms intact." Well,
did you find the one about North Korea?
I'm looking here. I don't see it.
I like his opinions. He's sort of a 2017 Patton, isn't he?
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. He says, "Fight with a happy heart and strong spirit." That sounds like Patton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't believe he'd be one to mess with.
Yeah, he says, "I'm going to plead with you. Do not cross us. Because if you do, the survivors will write about what we do here for 10,000 years.
That's pretty stout, isn't it? And he was referring to?
Well, anybody. I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe the Democrats. I don't know. Oh, man. He's got a strong opinion. He's not wishy-washy.
That's good. That's what we need. Let's salute him.
Yeah.
I bet if he drove up on a guard post and one of the guards was having a joint at the time, what do you think Mad Dog would do to that person?
Shoot him.
get him out of his misery, huh? Now, does he wear two pearl handle pistols?
I don't know. That's interesting. If you Google James Mattis, you'll get a lot of quotes. he's a very highly well-quoted guy for obvious reasons. He even had some quotes quoted here from his Senate hearing.
Huh.
Oh, dear.
Can't you imagine him looking at you and you're asking him some stupid question as a senator? That senator, after they realized who they were talking with, might have wet their pants thinking, you know, he might just come after me and shoot me.
Yeah, he's got to be somebody's worst nightmare.
I would imagine.
He says we have to make certain we're not dominant and irrelevant at the same time, dominant in a past form of warfare that is no longer relevant. Huh. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. So how do you think Trump's doing? What kind of grade would you give him? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, Reagan-esque.
Let me throw this out before I answer the question. I have this distinct feeling that there's a lot of good, not bad, but good smoke and mirrors going on. You know, Trump will come out with one of his tweets that just drives the left crazy, you know, and they go after it we both had aquariums growing up. You put a little bit of food in that aquarium and the fish just go crazy going after it, you know? Especially mm-hmm. after you've starved them for 12 or 14 hours. But anyway, and he'll put one of these tweets out and the media and everybody just goes absolutely bananas, and they've got all their television cameras focused on this one thing and yelling and screaming and doing this and doing that. While it's my bet that Mr. Trump is practicing his art of negotiation behind the scene. One of many things that he said that I liked from the get-go and that I like today is that you don't address your enemies or whoever you're negotiating with what you're going to do. That's just stupid. You don't tell Iraq when you're getting out of Iraq. You don't tell Afghanistan we're going to reduce our troop concentration by 50% on March the 20th. You don't do that. And I think that's, my personal opinion is, that's what's going on behind the scene. We hear about the 10-pin negotiations of inviting people to the bowling alleys at the White House. We hear about this, we hear about that. But I just have a feeling that there's a lot of quiet, positive negotiating going on in the background that's helping our country, my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think, to answer your question, how do I think he's doing? To have walked into a situation which I don't think he really had a clue about, to have walked into a situation where almost, well, say 98% if you give Fox News 2%, or 95%, whatever the number might be, media is against you, where you walk into a situation that a lot of less than truthful things are said about you. I think he's doing a hell of a job. And I think what we'll find is when it all comes out, when the laundry's clean, that, you know, he was doing a lot of things behind the scene that we didn't know about. I think one of the funniest things was that stupid Rachel Maddow or whatever coming out with his 2005 tax return. my first thing is, when you say 2005, I don't care, personally. But it blew up all over. And
Yeah, it did.
You know, he somebody's got to realize, the left has to realize, maybe this guy's for real, you know? You may not like his hair.
Well,
you may not like the way he says something. But, you know, they try to pull something off on him, and he comes out smelling like a rose.
Well, I don't know. He's... I can't separate truth from untruth anymore. I just am totally confused. I can see why the Democrats don't like him. I can see why some Republicans don't like him. You know, it's he's in a tough job. And I agree with you. I don't think he knew what he was getting into. I don't think anybody outside the you know, outside politics would understand what they're getting into.
I don't even think I don't think anybody until, and I certainly am not going to have that unpleasant opportunity. But you know, many years ago, when Nixon and Kennedy were running, and this was back in 1960. I was just a babe, but I can remember Reader's Digest came out with a deal that you almost had to be mentally ill to think you could be president of the United States. It's not just leading the most powerful country in the world. It's the ability to annihilate millions of people if you want to, or if you decide to, or if cause has it that you do. It's keeping the world economy going. It's on and on and on. And to think that you're capable of doing it basically makes you a sicko. And I'm not saying that Trump is a sicko, but I think anybody that really raves that I can do it, which he did, is obviously over self-confident. To say the least.
Well, to illustrate what I'm talking about, David, when he campaigned, he said he wasn't going to take a salary, right?
Yeah.
But I've been hearing that he's been taking a salary now. Is that truth or lie? I don't know.
What I have heard is that he had to take the salary. He's taken the salary, but given it to charity. It has basically gone right through his account to, because Sean Spicer, his press secretary, was kidding with him the other day in a press conference about, since the press was all over him about that, Spicer just said, okay, what charity do you want him to give it to? You all name the charity, and the next check will go to them. And
yeah.
So I don't. I think he's living by what he said, but that he couldn't get out of taking the salary, so he's taking it and giving it to a charity.
And we heard all sorts of cost estimates about how much Michelle's trips took or cost. And I'm hearing that Melania living in the Trump Tower is costing $100,000 or $300,000 a day for security. You know, I don't, it just boggles my mind.
If I were Trump, I'd move back to the tower, personally.
Well, it's just because Melania's there.
Took you a while to figure that out, huh?
Yeah.
Does she come and visit?
You know.
I think she does go to Washington frequently, doesn't she?
I haven't really heard much about her. I don't know.
Well, you sit there, figure it out, and we'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back, and we want to thank all the folks that listen to us on podcasts, as well as I want to make note, too, that Chuck Cook does a heck of a job on the Immigration Hour. Charles has been doing the show since 2008, 2009, so quite a few years. But out of all the legal podcasts in the United States, he's in the top seven, and he is number three in the top seven. And I just want to applaud Charles for doing a heck of a job, and how much I appreciate him doing the show. We've got other shows that... The Psychiatry Today is just incredible with the number of downloads it gets. The next show, the NSPS Hour with Kurt Sumner, is also a big winner. It's amazing the number of people that download and listen to the podcast from America's Web Radio. So I just wanted to thank everybody that's a part of it. Dan, thank you for doing this show every week. I've got to ask you, the
Dan and Dave show, what classification do we fit into? Are we talk radio, news radio, BS radio? Where do we fit?
Misfit?
Are we rated?
I think it's misfit.
Are we rated in the top 10?
Of what?
Of whatever category we fit into.
No, I'm sure not. We're probably in Misfit Radio, and we would be. I think we're right below the guy that does dirty jobs.
Wow.
Have you ever seen that show?
Oh, that's a great show.
It is. I like it, actually. Did you know that he is an opera singer?
No.
Yeah. He was trained, I can't remember where, but he was trained in music. And is, from what I don't hold me to it. I'm pretty sure I'm right on it. But he's supposed to be one heck of a singer. Anyway, so with that being said, thanks for doing the show, and thanks to the audience. And where we are listed, we probably, most bathroom walls have us. We're in the top 10 here at our office building in the bathroom. I can't address other bathrooms, but you know, we try to please. What can I say?
Well, I did say, see something on the bathroom wall about Dave does something in a telephone number, but, I didn't call.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
I don't know. You know, I think the reason that I do the show is because you make me.
Oh, yeah. I force you to answer the phone. That's it. I tell you what, this was not on the list by any means, but Chuck Berry died. I'm sure you heard that. And I was always amazed by Chuck Berry. Growing up, he was 90, so 20 years older than me. So I'm when I was in high school and in college and after college, Chuck Berry was one of the few back in the golden years of rock and roll, stuck with his Gibson guitar, had a Gibson guitar named after him. He never moved over to the Fender. He always played his Gibson guitar, and I just think he was an outstanding musician. And at 90 years old, his time was up, but the legend of Chuck Berry, I hope, will live on and on, and that kids coming up and playing rock and roll today, or whatever it's called, will appreciate the ground that Chuck Berry broke. And he was just a fabulous guitar player.
Entertainer. Well, he was, and at 90, he was working on a new album.
That figures. I wasn't aware of that, but that's neat.
Here's some of the songs that you may remember Chuck singing. Johnny Be Good.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Yeah. Nadine.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Back in the USA. Did you know that he sang that song before... Little Queenie, Around and Around, you know, on and on and on. Merry Christmas Baby, Drifting Heart, Maybelline.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he was good.
All over Beethoven.
You know, and I guess if one other thing I would say about Chuck Berry, there were... As you and I were growing up and rock and roll was taking its place, and we had obviously Elvis and Buddy Holly and so, but Chuck Berry, in my opinion, was the guts and the face of rock. I mean, there wasn't any question about what Chuck Berry sang or did. He was the epitome, in my opinion, of rock and roll. You know, all the other, Elvis included, would drift off and do this and sing that and, you know, and not really stay on the roots of rock and roll. Chuck Berry, everything that he played, in my opinion, was rock and roll. And I just think he was great.
Yeah. Yeah. and no rap. I don't think Chuck Berry ever did rap.
No. You shouldn't even say his name and that word in the same sentence.
I agree. Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Hardcore rock and roll. And
I'm sure Chuck is in the rock and roll heaven.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And laughing all the way. And loving it. Gosh, don't you think if there's a band in heaven and there is a rock and roll heaven, the music that would come out of it would be absolutely incredible, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just cranking it up here. Can you hear that?
Yep.
Yeah.
After we get done with the show here, I may just crank it up.
You know,
I may just have an hour of Chuck Berry.
The cool thing about Chuck Berry and many of the 60s and early 70s, before they got into the acid stuff and all the rest of it, but even the lyrics may be a little crazy, but you could understand them. You could understand the words.
Yeah.
You knew what they were singing. And like I said, Chuck Berry, in my opinion, was rock and roll.
By and large, they just told a simple story.
Mm-hmm.
Just storytelling to music.
But it was great.
But it was great.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's what I wanted this station to be when I started it. I wanted it to be the golden oldies and play all the... And unfortunately, I found that there was competition out there, like about 10 million stations across the country that played oldies but goodies and the golden oldies and all whatever they wanted to call them. So I decided at that point, maybe I should go a different direction. And so
yep.
I did. I started the Dan and Dave Show.
Yep, you were a visionary. You were a man beyond your means or before your time or something.
Yeah, and I think I know still
you. I know you can't afford my salary.
That's why you don't get any. You get the same as I get. Which I continue to get complaints about from some folks that live with me. And I can't understand why. But I tell you what, it's time to put the plug in the jug. We got to get out of here, my friend Dan.
Well, jug the plug and let's go.
And,
we have things to do, my friend.
Stay tuned for the NSPS Hour with Kurt Sumner. We'll be back next week on America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. Get ready, get your earplugs, and we'll be there. Take care, Dan.
Thanks,
you're
Dave.
Listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is Michael Connelly inviting you to listen each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern to my show, Our Constitution, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.